that it was a combination of a lot of different people that helped out. Initially, the idea came to me a year ago, and we got some people in from Touch Global and Crisis Response Team at the head of EFCA, got them in here, talked to the elders, talked to the ministry teams around the Quad Cities, and then we just kind of ran with it. Brock had come up to me and said, you know, I'll just drive my car down there. And so he was, I know Brock, we probably would have just drove our car down there. And then Mike jumped on board, and Mike is a tremendous organizer. The way he put this together, I could never have done, ever, ever. Tom jumped on board, and then everybody donating. It was really something. Tom didn't mention that while we were there, there were two teachers that were crying. And the reason why they were crying was because they couldn't believe the generosity that they were seeing there. Because the stuff that we were giving out wasn't even in their normal budgets. And they were saying that this was over and beyond what they even could imagine for a whole year. And the look that I always came across with people was this. I would come up and I would say, hey, we can have all that shipped to you next week. We can ship it out to your car. We can take it out of your car right now. We can do all this kind of stuff. And they're just looking at me like this. Yeah, ship it? Sure. I'll have it shipped. I'm like, okay, put your stuff right here. Put your name in your box and school and all that kind of stuff. And they were just like, they were just in a, like a kid in a candy store. They were just. So it was really intense. And if I don't see another school book again, it'll be really good. How many books do you think we did? Thousands upon thousands of books. We lifted, shuffled, looked through. But anyway, it was a great, great time. The only complaint we have is army cots. They just weren't big enough. It's like, how big are the people in the army, man? Like 5'8"? Does anybody get 6 foot in the army? Of course they do. Why are these things so stinking little? Yeah. They have extra large cots, so I'll take one of those.
Mike, did you go through used books because they were there and we had to
weed through secondary, junior high, high school. I'm not kidding you, man. We packed tons. What's that? No, it was not easy. All of us, our feet were killing us. Oh yeah.
And where would they go from after you packed them? Where did they go?
After we would pack them, then they would either go to an area of the warehouse that was going to be shipped the week that we were gone, or we would literally put them and put their names on them, and then literally deliver them. They would come in a back door. The schools, and then the rooms, the teachers' rooms. Yeah, it was all teachers, and yeah, and so it was a huge warehouse. But yes, Cindy. Seven? Was it 7 out of the 13?
Six
out of 13. We. Oh yeah, way to bring that in. The girls from Branson, yeah, there was a lot of teams there, a lot of teams. And the head guy, Dale, where Tom got his information on 95% Christian, Dale was the head administrator of all the rescue efforts in the Joplin, the volunteer efforts. And he said, Mike, I just want you guys to know that 95% of all the help that has come into Joplin since that tornado has been Christian-based. He said, Joplin would not be what it is today if it wasn't for the Christians. He goes, the other five was headed up by Christians, and he says, that presence cannot be denied. Nobody in that presence. So, and the only other disappointment we had, it's kind of sad, but Brock couldn't get his dog. there wasn't. This is the one funny thing I'll tell you. On Thursday night, they had the streets shut off because they were having art displays. It was like art or artist night. And this lady is walking. What was it? Was it a Basset Hound? What was it? Basset Beagle. And she's, and it's like, adopt me. And Brock's like, he's like, I'm going to get that dog. And we're like, what? We're going to what? He petted it. Yeah. Yeah. But he got to the place, the adoption place, and we were all good with it. We're like, Jessica's like, yeah, we'll have a little dog for 10 hours. That'd be pretty cool. You gotta go to the bathroom, poochie pooch. You know, I mean, we didn't think of all the ramifications. Anyway, Brock gets there, and the guy that picked it up is standing right there like 5 minutes before him. He's like, you still got the dog? And the lady's like, and the guy goes, this guy next to him says, oh, I just got that dog. Brock comes back like this. So anyway, we have a lot of laughing. We have a lot of funnies. We ought to do a blooper thing, man. That would be awesome to do. Anyway, guys, what I want to talk about today is why is there so much trouble in this life? Why did a tornado hit this one area? Because when you go look at this place, I'm not kidding you, there are some really vantage points that you can go see and look and see the damage. There's one hill, I can't even remember what road it is, but if you look this way and you look that way, you're on a hill and you can see literally the damage path. And it's a mile wide. But when you get to the edge of that mile, you have one street where there's no houses. That F5 tornado literally paved the road and took the house completely away. All that's left is a slab. And then across the street, their houses are still standing. And on the street, it goes this slab across the street. They're damaged, but they're still standing. And they had to ask themselves, why? Why my house? Why my husband? Why my child? Why not this guy over here? And that's what I want to talk about today, guys. Why is there so much trouble in this life? One of the things, and I know we're on Galatians right now, but I really thought that this was a better way to go. Because these are the questions that come up in our minds. Is life just random? And maybe some are lucky, and maybe some aren't. We look at this and we go, is it just a random? Is it just the luck of the draw? Is it just the lottery? Why this house and not this house? Why this house and not that house? Why this person's life and not this person's life? Is it God to blame? People do that all the time. We blame God. Well, maybe it's Satan. Maybe that's who we need to blame, is Satan. God, this is your fault. Some of us like to go to maybe, well, it's Satan's fault. The question, though, still remains, people, is why is there so much suffering? Why is there so much pain? Why is there so much loneliness? Why is there so much separation? And why is there so much rejection in this world? We all know that it's not, there's something in us that says this isn't the way it should have been. Because we all long for a better what? Life. Who says, who put that in you that life could be better? Because we still remember what it was supposed to be like. But I think we need to get some things straight, first of all. And I want us to see these things. We need to get some things straight in our hearts. We need to get some things straight in our minds about God. Because in all of the questions that we have, and all of the things that happen, unless we have these straight first, then we're going to be off in the deep end. We're going to be thinking that life is just random. We're going to be blaming God. We're going to be looking for the devil behind every bush. You know, I remember when I was 18 years old and I became a diabetic. The first thing my brother said to me was, Michael, why you? I can remember, we were in the hallway, and he said, why you, brother? Now, I knew what he meant by that. Because in his mind, he's not a believer at this time, and he's, why does this stuff happen to Michael? Michael is the one who is the Christian. Michael is the one that's always talking to me about Jesus. Michael is the one that's helping our family. Michael is the one that seems to be the glue here. God, why Michael? Why my brother? It should happen to me. I'm the one who deserves it. But it was interesting. It was an interesting conversation that we had at that point. And even at that very young age, I knew in my mind that somehow God was going to work this out for good. And so it's even things like that. But first of all, we have to know this. First of all, we have to remember that God is all-powerful. Number one, God is all-powerful. Number two, God is all-knowing. There's no, oops, I didn't see that from God. Oh man, I can't believe Vicky just did that. I turned my back for 2 seconds and Vicky just went off the deep end. That's not God. He doesn't take breaks. He knows all things. He's all powerful. And he's all in control. God is still in control. Now, we look at the world, we look at what's going on today, and it doesn't look like there's much of any good in control, correct? But we do see some good. We see hope. You know, you look at the Joplin thing, the whole Joplin situation. You have this horrendous tornado, and it looks like just that, where's God? Where's God in all of this? Is he even in control? And we ask ourselves that, but we have to remember, those of us that are believers here, that God is still in control. If he's all-powerful, and if he's all-knowing, and if he's all-present, then he's in all control, and he knows what's going on. Now, in our minds, in our heads, here's what we're thinking at this point. Yeah, okay, well, I still got a lot of questions here. I got a lot of stinking questions. Why is there so much suffering in the world? If God is good, why doesn't he just stop the whole thing? Why does he let me suffer? Why does he let this person suffer? Why doesn't he stop the whole Middle East thing? Why, I mean, he could, if he's really God, if he's really powerful, if he's really in control, couldn't he just fix it? Well, there's some other things that we have to remember. We're going to see this. God is good. All the time. God is gracious, God is good, let us thank him for our food, amen. Okay, that's what we used to pray. This is bigger, though. This is bigger. One of the things that we believe is no matter what happens, God is in control. He's all-knowing, he's all-present, and he is good. Here's another thing we have to remember. Satan is horrendously evil. And he is the God of this age. The God of this age, the age means the world system that is so messed up. It is very important that we do remember who the God, little g, of this age is. As believers, John says, 1 John says that we battle the world, the flesh, and the devil. And here's another important point to remember. This is vital. Satan is on God's leash, and the outcome is not uncertain. See, it's not like Star Wars, okay, where you have good and evil, and they're fighting it out. See, I had to do the father-son Luke, you know, Darth Vader thing going here. This is my dad, by the way, to those of you that don't know it. And so you've got this good and even. Who's going to win? I don't know. Will Luke win? Will Darth Vader win? Will the dark side prevail? Will the good side prevail? See, it's not like that, folks. The whole story is already done in God's mind. The lake of fire is Satan's end. He is fighting a losing battle. Now, I'm going to launch into something I want you to pay very close attention to. you are not God. But see, we set ourselves up as God when we say things like, I'm not going to believe because God let my someone die. I'm not going to believe because God, if he was really good, he wouldn't let a tornado hit Joplin. Because in my mind, that doesn't make sense. Now, what I'm going to show to you today is just because you do not understand something, and just because you cannot figure it all out, does not make it false. And we set ourselves up to be God when we say that. I cannot understand this about God. I cannot think through this about God. Therefore, God does not exist. Right away, what you have done is you've made yourself out to be God. Now, I want to systematically show you right now how little we really know. Just so that those of us in here get this concept that you are not God. You are very limited human beings, extremely limited in knowledge, and very limited in experience. First of all, let's knock them out. These are just very basic. In order to say this in your mind, because I don't understand something, and because it doesn't make sense, therefore I have something on God. Have you been to the ends of the universe? Because really, if you're going to do that, if you're going to say that about God, then you need to have the experience to back that up. And you need to increase your knowledge. Have you been to the ends of the universe? All these questions, guys, are going to be no. See, to somebody to make a statement like that, they literally need to have some experience. You need to have a job resume that backs up our statements. Do you or have you been to the ends of the universe? Have you seen all the reaches of space? Let me ask you a question. Have they found the end of the universe yet? No. No. Have you seen even the reaches of space? Folks, when you go into a job, when you start a new job, what are the things that they want from you first? You got to have a what? Yeah. Okay, let's say this. Let's say tomorrow I said, you know what? I'm kind of tired of being a pastor. I want to be a brain surgeon. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down to Trinity. No. I'm going to go to Iowa City. And I'm going to walk in and I'm going to say, I would really like to do brain surgery here. Here's my resume and application. Would you look at that and then call me back in a week? What are they going to do? They're circular file, man. Why? Why though? Am I not a smart guy? Don't answer that. Am I not a smart guy? I'm a smart guy. What? I've got a brain.
Just because you got a brain, you can't operate.
Yeah. Doesn't having a brain make me experienced? I mean, good night, man. I've been there. I know what my brain does, and I can figure out what other people do. I'll just cut that little sucker open, and there we go. Right? See, guys, you cannot. You see how foolish that is? How silly that is? And when we say that about God, when we make these statements about God, or when people, you know, and bad things happen, guys, and they're horrible. That's not what I'm talking about today. But literally, in order to make a statement like that, you got to have a good resume. Well, I'm gonna give you some of your resume qualifications. Let's see how much you've been to school. Do you know what the smallest particle of matter even looks like? Now we think we do, quarks. Okay, they're called quarks. But we also thought the atom was the smallest thing in the 50s, right? There is no smallest thing, people, and you can't find it. See, in order to have a good job resume, you ought to be able to know that end and that end. You need to be experienced all the way in the smallest spectrum to the highest spectrum to have at least a little bit of job resume, experience to say those things about God? Does anybody even know where our DNA receives programming to do what it does? No. It's like there's a program that fits this program that backs up this program that backs up this program that backs up that program. Oh my goodness, you guys, who put all that together? Can you even figure out that simple thing about your body? How about the human brain? This is one we deal with every day, guys. Think about this. Can you explain your own human brain with all of its thoughts, with all of its emotions, with all of its senses, and how did all that come together to form one brain that in some of our lives actually works in coordination with other parts? Unfortunately, most of us don't have that brain anymore. Guys, how about the human eye? You know, the human eye used to scare Charles Darwin. And rightly so. Because he saw something that he could not explain away by evolution. He saw something that was too fantastic to be pieced together by chance. This is just very simple stuff, guys. Look at this. The human eye transforms light waves into color. How does it even do that? How does it receive information upside down and then the brain sees it right side up? Do you realize how complicated the brain is? I was reading an article where it literally says they did an experiment where they had these glasses, and I'm not sure how they were, but they could reverse everything kind of like in a mirror, and so everybody saw everything upside down. Yeah, tell me about it. In 2 days, they saw everything right side up. Yes. Outdid the glasses. Then they took off the glasses and everything was upside down again. In 2 days, everything became right side up again. Wow. My poor wife would be, she would be in the bathroom for the whole week. Can you see, I questioned that. I said, so was there a point where everything was sideways? You know, I don't know. But isn't that fantastic? Who put that together, man? Who did that? Yeah. How is it that your mind flashes a signal to move an arm after you flashed a signal that you wanted the arm moved? Without even thinking. Vicky, raise your hand. Wow. Somewhere in this mind and body, she went, I want to move my arm, in milliseconds, and her brain said, okay, go. Yeah, without even thinking about it. What do you know? How is it that the entire universe, the galaxies, and our own solar system have some sort of crazy order to it? Why isn't it just like a blender? All together and just... Why is there an order? And this is the point I'm trying to make, guys. The bottom line here is this. Just because we don't believe something or just because we cannot understand something does not make it false. Excuse me. We are not God. Some of us have never even been out of the country, let alone the ends of the universe. See, I'm going to give you, here's your resume to be God. You have to have gone, you have to answer at least 95% of these questions 100% accurately in order to pass, even to be in the running to be God. Questions get harder, though, by the way. You know, we've heard of that email that was sent out once where the scientist was going to challenge God. And they both said, you got to start, and the scientist is like, okay, I can do it. I can make life, I can create life. And God said, okay, that's cool. Let's do it. Scientist gets a bunch of dirt. God says, no, you make your own dirt. God made the dirt. What do we really know? Golly, our job descriptions, guys, are very small. Very, 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 very small. And you have a God who you can't even approach to get that job from. So what are we to do? I'm going to be honest with you. We've got about 12 minutes left. I don't have all the answers. If Mike doesn't have all the answers, what do we do? Well, it's called Priesthood of the Believers. You should have a lot of good answers too. I don't have all the answers, folks, because I'm not God. But you know what I do know? I do know what he says about trouble. And I do know what he says about suffering. And I do know what he says about tribulation. What we do know is this. Because of the fall of man, the world is now corrupted. Men are basically evil. And trouble might come, will come. If you are going to be born in this world, as we're going to see here by the book of Job, the one person that we look at in all history who had so much trouble and still maintained his faith and all this kind of stuff, he got it right. Look at what it says in Job 5:7. A man is born to trouble. The minute you come out, you're bawling. That is the... You know what? No babies come out like this. Hoo-hoo. Kiku. Go-go. No babies come out like that laughing. All babies come out crying. You know, I sometimes look at that and I'm like, wow, kid, get used to that. There's going to be a lot more of that as the years go by. Why is that? Very simple. Why do babies come out crying? Well, I mean, we could explain it scientifically because they need to do that because their lungs are being developed and crying is good and all that kind of stuff. Okay, I'll go with that. But you know what else I'll go with? Because this world is, you're born to trouble. That womb was safe. That womb was warm. That womb had this cool sound. Ah, that's a sleepy sound. And now all of a sudden you've got bright lights and people in white coats and they're sticking needles in your feet. What is that all about? But here's what I do know. I do know that man is born to trouble. Trouble will come, people. However it comes, it will come. But here's what Job said. He says, but as for me, I would seek God, and to God I commit my cause. Trouble will come. Where do you go when trouble comes? See? God does not say in his word that I'm going to explain to you every single situation and you will be able to decipher every single situation in your life, trouble or not, like the mystics used to do when they'd be like, ah, a crow is flying over in the east. Therefore, that means it's a bad omen. That's a bad omen. Guys, no. No, that's man trying to figure out things that he can't know. John 16:33, here's another one. It says this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. But guess what? In the world you will have tribulation. Not might, you will have trouble. But here's the key. Be of good cheer. In other words, be like this. All right, Jesus has overcome the world. He said this would come. He said trouble would come. Now what do I do? God's in control. God knows what's going on. I am not slipping through the cracks but with God. He knows the very hairs on my head. It is an insult to think that God does not understand or know what's going on with me right now. We don't even know the hairs on our head. But the Bible says that God does. James 1:2 says this. Now, he's speaking to brethren now. He's speaking to Christians. But he's saying this. My brethren, you know what? Here's something different. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Because you know what it's doing? The testing of your faith is producing patience. It's producing perseverance. It's so when the next trial comes, you can do this. You know what? God got me out of that one. He's going to get me out of this one. God delivered me here. He's still faithful, and he will deliver me here. Now, we can run around with our like a chicken with our heads cut off. God will allow that. He'll allow that. He'll allow us to be wiggy and, you know, be like maybe the Israelites were 100 different times. What we have here, people, is we have not a prescription to be without trouble, but a prescription that when trouble comes, we know who to go to and what to remember. I don't know why the tornado missed this house and didn't miss that house. I don't know why this person died and this one didn't. God does. And you know one thing I can't stand? Here's the thing I can't stand. When preachers have the audacity to say, well, here's why. Because God is judging them. There's something they've done in their past, somewhere, somehow, where God is now judging that city. Oh, man. You are not God. And you better be careful what you lay at God's doorstep, preacher. Because in the end, God's going to require that little statement from you. Or this one. Well, you know, God is good, and he's got a plan. And you just got to believe in that plan. Okay, that's true. God does have a plan. But folks, that's not what people want to hear at that moment. God has a plan? You mean God sent this tornado? Is that what God did? God sent the tornado. Folks, you know what? Here's something that I believe the Bible teaches us. The reason why we have trouble in this life, the reason why it's there, we already know from one thing that it produces patience, it produces endurance in the Christian. But you know what it also produces? It also produces a doubt in the mind of an unbeliever that says, you know what? Something is not right. This is not the way it should be. And it pushes us towards Jesus Christ. Because we are trying to make sense of this life, because we know deep down inside that there's something more than this. It's got to be better than this. Who put that in you? The fact that that's even there witnesses and testifies to you that there's some measuring line that you didn't come up with yourself. You know, it's like when we draw a straight line. I do this sometimes with people, and I'll draw a straight line. And I'll say, is that line straight or crooked? And they say, well, it's straight. And then I draw a crooked line. And I say, is that line crooked or straight? And they say, well, it's crooked. I go, who says so? Who says that that's crooked and that one's straight? And they're like, duh. I'm like, where does that perfection come from? Because we still remember what it was like to be perfect, people. We still remember what it was like in our genes, somewhere deep down inside, spirit or whatever. You still remember what it was like before Adam and Eve did what they did. You still remember that eternity is put in our hearts. And it's there to lead you to Jesus. Every trouble, every tribulation, everything that happens in our lives, every time we try to do enough good and we fail and all this kind of stuff, all of those things are driving us into Jesus because we realize that we can't do it and there's got to be something better. And then we read in the Bible where it's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ and it's faith in the blood because Jesus has done it all. And we go, you know what? That's the something better. Because Jesus promised that if I believe in him, I will not be put to shame. And there is a better life coming. As a matter of fact, I can have a better life now. I don't have to wait till the end. That's another thing that just rattles me about people is they say, well, you know, this life you got to live, it's like hell. And then you go to heaven, and then it's like heaven. Okay? No. God gives us good things to enjoy here. He blesses us. He's merciful. He says, don't be a sinner. Don't sin, because you're going to burn yourself on the oven. You're going to burn yourself. I'm trying to make your life easier. No. Walk holy. Because you know what? When you walk holy, it's easier. Now, it's harder, but it's also easier. It's harder to do, but it's easier on you in the end. And in life. You know, I talk to people all the time. People come to me and say, oh, man, you know, I made a mess of my life. I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. And I'm thinking in my head, why is it a mess? Well, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. You know, if you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, or you didn't do that, your life wouldn't be such a mess right now. There's choices that we do make. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Don't you love this passage? The God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. That's the type of God that we have, people. The God of all comfort, the God that loves you beyond your understanding because you're a kindergartner compared to God. And he loves you. And he's crying out to you. And he's saying to you over and over and over again, put your trust in my son. Put my trust in the Son of God. Trust in the blood, because it's the only way. What he did on the cross. He comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Folks, that's what one thing trials and tribulations do for the Christian. It's not always something that draws us to Jesus, but in a sense it does, because it draws us to show others the Christ life, to show others tribulation, that we got through it. Here's how we did it. God gave us strength. Here's how we did it. I'm going to give it to you so you'll be comforted. In this you greatly rejoiced, 1 Peter 1:6, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And do not, here's the one thing what's that word there? Is that a happy word? Is that a happy word? No, it's not. You know, people, you're going through a real rough time, and they'll hear a Christian say to them, well, you know, you should have a smile on your face. Because Jesus has done it all. And you got something to look forward to. I don't know why I'm talking like that. Yeah, I must be from North Carolina. You know what? And the person, then he's got double guilt, okay? Because now he's suffering because he's grieving, and now he's guilty because he's grieving. We don't want to put that on people. People, these things are hard and they grieve us. But look what here's what it does, though. Even though it's grievous, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested, though it feels like it's burning like fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory when Jesus returns. It burns like fire right now, and it hurts. And we don't have all the answers. But I know there's a time coming when Jesus is going to straighten it all out. And all of the mystery parts in our lives, he will say, here's what was actually going on. And you know what we're going to do? Just like kindergartners. Oh, yeah. That was easy. Why did I confuse it so bad? Well, it's very simple, child. The reason why you confuse it so bad is because, remember what I said? You live in a shadow. You live in this. You see through a glass dimly right now. Now you don't have the glass there anymore. And you see me as I am. Last couple ones. That creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. Romans 8:21. Look at this. For we know that the whole creation, here's some other tough words, groans and suffers together until now. And not only this, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Folks, when life gets hard and life gets tough, and things don't look like they're just, it's just a, and we have trouble finding God's, where's the enjoyment here, Jesus? You talked about this. I want you to remember and understand that it's okay to groan. It's okay to feel the pain. But give your pain to Jesus. Because he's the only healer of pain. And that's the message that we are learning in Joplin, because we have so many questions when something tragic like that happens. Know that the whole creation groans and suffers, and not only that, but those that are Christians, they groan too. Because you know what? We know something better is coming. The redemption of our bodies. And as you get older, I am learning a very interesting secret. The older I get, the more I go, this thing just ain't working out like it used to. Either I try to hold on to everything here, which ain't going to happen. I'm gonna stay as healthy as I can, but I think I'm fighting a losing battle here. You ain't seen nothing yet. You begin to do this. I could really use the redemption of my body today, God. You know, it's funny. You age, and I've been here long enough, or I'm aging with you guys, and I'm like, okay, 50's approaching. 50's coming. All righty. Let's be encouraged today. Let's let people have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and stand. Father, thank you. God, I know I do not have it all figured out. I know for one for myself, but I know you do. And I know what you say to do. And so here we are, some of us believers, some not, but we want to practice. We want to make sure, because your way is the right way. Enable us to do this. Strengthen our hearts. Comfort us in all our tribulations. And I pray this, Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday.